Israelites cannot get in the way of God working in their life to make sure that they become God's covenant people. Like, Israelite, no matter how much they fail, they cannot get in the way of God being faithful to his promises. You know what that means? It means no matter how much we fail, we cannot get in the way of God's grace for us. One day we will become like Christ. One day we will be in heaven worshiping him. One day we will be fully sanctified and made holy. We cannot mess up God's plan. That's what he's saying. God tests us. And what I want us to see here is God is patient with us. And his testing, him bringing hardships into your life, it's not to make your life miserable or make sure that you fail what's in front of you. No, it's for you to see who you are so that you really can come to him and say, I need you, Christ. I need you, God. So that we begin to recognize, I can't do this on my own. I can't do it. I don't have enough willpower. I don't have enough motivation. I can't do it. So I come to you, Jesus, to help me. That's why the tests are there. But God is so patient with us. His grace, his mercies are new every morning. The third thing that I want to point out is the rock of God. And this is, I think, significant. If you have your Bibles open or your apps open, Exodus chapter 17. So they grumble, you know, God provides manna. And they're fed, and this is going to happen every day for 40 years from this point on. Exodus chapter 17, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandments of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. So Rephidim is placed near Mount Sinai, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." We'll pause there. So what's happening is they're grumbling again, but here in this passage, it says they quarreled with Moses, and that word actually is a different word than grumbling, and it's a stronger word. And so what we're recognizing here is the Israelites have reached a new level of hostility. I mean, they are angry inside. And what we read here is they demand now from Moses, "Give us water to drink." And Moses' response is, "Why do you test the Lord?" Thus far, it's the Lord that's been testing his people. Here Moses says, "Why are you testing God?" And I think what they're doing is they are saying, "God," or Moses representing God, "we don't believe that you have what's our best intentions. We don't trust you. Like, we don't really know that you really want to bless us. We think," here it says, "we think you want to actually murder us. You brought us out of Egypt to kill us, to destroy us." So what they're doing is they're trying to see what's inside God. You know how God wanted us to see what's inside us? Here people are saying, "What's really inside of you, Lord? Do you really care for us?" At the end of the section, they said, "Are you really with us or not? Are you here with us? Do you care?" That's what they're saying. There's a new level of anger and hostility towards God. And he says here, they were ready to stone Moses. That's significant because in the ancient culture, stoning was a communal, collective way to executing judgment on someone who was found guilty of capital crime. So what's happening here is people, the Israelites, are ready to kill Moses or make a judgment on Moses and on God and stone Moses. They're saying, we don't trust you, Moses. We don't trust God. We don't think you have our best interest. Where is he? And they're ready to make this judgment. Let's look at verse 5 with me. Let's finish this passage, 5 to 7. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not?" And so here's what's happening. God says they're quarreling. They want to stone Moses. God tells Moses, "Moses, gather some elders. Go in front of the people. Go up to this place, Mount Horeb. There's going to be a rock. Strike the rock with your staff, and the water will gush out. They'll drink." Again, there's no retribution. There's no punishment for God's people, even for testing God in this way or wanting to stone Moses in this way. He's so gracious. He provides what they need. And you think about that, you know, it's 2 to 3 million people. So the water is gushing out, right, from this rock where the whole assembly is able to drink. Now, there's a small detail here in this passage that's interesting, and I want to kind of talk about that a bit. He says, when God says, "Moses, take your staff," so that sign of authority, "take elders," and elders, usually assembly of elders, they usually make judgments when there are disputes. So there, it's sort of like God setting up sort of like a court. There's the elders, they're going to make a judgment because people have brought this charge against Moses, representing God. Moses has a staff, and he's going to strike the rock with the staff. What God says here is interesting. He says, "I'm going to stand on this rock, and you're going to strike the rock, and the water will come out." Many years later, the Apostle Paul, thinking about this passage, says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "For I do not," again, Exodus is like a mirror. The authors, they keep pointing back to Exodus. And he says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Now, why would Apostle Paul look at this passage and say the rock was Christ? Because Paul knew that God was going to be on a trial again. Although he was innocent, people were going to strike him again. So it's like, you know, the scene is amazing because people are grumbling and they're so angry. They wanna stone Moses. They're bringing this charge. "You brought us out here to kill us." God tells Moses, "Moses, come before people. Gather the elders. Take your staff. And we're going to make a judgment. We're gonna see who really is at fault. The people's on one side. Moses is here. But he says, "I'm going to stand on this rock, and you are to strike me, strike the rock, and the water will shout." Well, Paul looks at that, and he says, "Well, that's Christ." He said, because Christ on the cross was struck. But Isaiah 53 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." Rather than bringing judgment upon sin of the people, Jesus, like in this passage, Exodus 17, went to the cross, and he bore he was struck, and he was pierced for our sin. So Paul looks at that, and I think here's how we apply that. It's when we are going through our desert times, and we want to sort of test God, or we're grumbling and quarreling. Does God really care for me? This is too much for me. I mean, how do I know that God still loves me? How do I know that God's still working in my life and God is going to be faithful? Well, we look at the cross It's when God himself, God's son, was struck on our behalf. And he was pierced. And when he was pierced, blood gushed out. Water gushed out, the gospel writer tells us. Blood rushed out to cleanse all of our sins. No matter what kind of things we've done, he cleanses us to make us pure. The water came out so that we can drink from him and be refreshed. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to quench us. So when we go through hardships that are almost beyond sort of our control, or it's so hard to manage what happened, we look at the cross and we recognize, rather than judging us, God judged his own son, and from his son we receive cleansing and we receive the Holy Spirit that quenches our thirst. And so, friends, today, all of us, we all go through sort of our desert times, desert regions, and it's what we need to recognize is those things help us to see ourselves. God is so patient with us, and ultimately, when that happens, and when we feel helpless, we look at the cross and remember that as we go through these, God doesn't leave us alone. He's with us. He gives us his spirit. He quenches us. All we need is to go to him. No matter what kind of things we're facing, like our Lord, our God, walks with us. He quenches us. He provides for us. All right, let's pray, and we'll close our time. Maybe just we could take a minute to, as we sing songs to close, just take a minute to, especially for some of us who are in the midst of wilderness, and it's hard. I mean, the reality is, when the Israelites were lacking food and water, I mean, it was difficult. So it's not a light matter at all. It's difficult. It's almost life and death. But again and again, God comes and he reminds the Israelites, and he reminds us today that he is with us and he is for us. And if we can come to him, he will quench us, quench our thirst. He will refresh us and he will give us strength so that we can persevere. It's when we are in these times, we don't have to walk alone. God is with us. And so just, I want to invite us to kind of make that your prayer this morning, especially if you're in that season of life. And then we'll sing a few songs as we close.